So when we were listing our favorite hymns, you know, we asked people to, if they wanted to list why they had it. And so Misa Chen is not here today, but she listed for hers, "As a child, I remember playing this on the piano for Sunday school." So I'm going to get Misa to play for us sometime on Sunday morning. You can tell her, Alan and Noah, we're going to set her up and get her ready to play. So she can play Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, but it's all good. There is a little book that someone gave me. Her name was Ruth Morgan, July 7th, 1989. And I pull this little book out all the time. It's by Frederick Buechner. It's called Wishful Thinking, A Theological ABC. And he takes hard words and he makes them simple for us. And so I wanted to read for you what he says about the word faith. And I chose it because he uses the story of Abraham and Sarah as his definition of how we learn about faith. He says, "When God told Abraham, who was 100 at the time, that at the age of 90, his wife Sarah was finally going to have a baby, Abraham came close to knocking himself out. Fell on his face and laughed, as Genesis puts it. In another version of the story, Sarah is hiding behind the door, eavesdropping. And here it's Sarah herself who nearly splits a gut, although when God asks her about it afterwards, she denies it. No, but you did laugh, God says, thus having the last word as well as the first. God doesn't seem to hold their outburst against them, however. On the contrary, he tells them the baby's going to be a boy and that God wants them to name him Isaac. Isaac in Hebrew means laughter. Why did the two old crocs laugh? They laughed because they knew only a fool would believe that a woman with one foot in the grave was soon going to have her other foot in a maternity ward. They laughed because God expected them to believe it anyway. They laughed because God seemed to believe it. They laughed because they half believe it themselves. They laughed because laughing felt better than crying. They laughed because if by some crazy chance it just happened to come true, that they would have been something to laugh about, and in the meantime, it helped them to keep going. Faith is laughter at the promise of a child called laughter. Faith is better understood as a verb than as a noun, as a process rather than as a possession. It is on again, off again, rather than once and for all. Faith is not being sure where you're going, but going anyway. Faith is a journey without maps." I love that analogy. Faith is a journey without maps. So we're going to do today, the first service did a great job. We're going to do a memory verse today. So take yourself back to when you were in Sunday school and you did memory verses each Sunday. We're going to do a memory verse for you today of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the first verse. I'm going to say it for you. We're going to do it twice, and then we're going to say it together. All right, so I'll try it first. You repeat after me. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
Faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
The conviction of things not seen.
The conviction of things not seen.
All right, we'll try it again. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
Faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
The conviction of things not seen.
The conviction of things not seen.
Now let's try it together. Ready? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. So keep that in your head and you can take it home, and you have learned something in church today. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Who writes this? What's going on in this Hebrews chapter is that there is a preacher who is teaching to his congregation, and he calls it, this particular chapter, the faith chapter, because he is addressing a real and pastoral problem that is taking place in his church, and it is a contemporary problem in churches today. His congregation is exhausted. His congregation is exhausted. They are tired. They're tired of serving the world. They're tired of worship. They're tired of Christian education. They're tired of the spiritual struggle. They're tired of trying to keep their prayer life going. They're tired of Jesus. Their hands are drooping. They're down on their knees. Attendance is down in church. They're losing their confidence. They've lost their energy. They're worn out. They're walking. They're not longer walking the walk. They're taking a walk out of church. They're falling away from faith. Sound familiar? Oh, Pastor Dave, those toiletries, I know we have to get them, but I just don't have time to get those toiletries. Oh, Pastor Dave, to teach Sunday school, it's too hard. I've got to get up on Sunday morning and be with those kids. It's too much of a struggle, Pastor Dave. Oh, Pastor Dave, you talk about bringing our church envelopes. I threw mine out. Pastor Dave, it's too hard. I'm exhausted. I'm ready to quit. That's what's going on in this church that this preacher is a pastor of. And friends, it is happening in the American church all around us. People are exhausted because they have lost their faith or they can't find it. So what is the answer for this preacher? He doesn't look for group dynamics. He's not saying to form small groups. He's saying, let's not have a potluck and see if that'll bring the crowd in. He preaches to them the example of their ancestors, of persons from the Old Testament that they learned about in Sunday school, and how their faith got them to be what we want to call heroes of the Bible. And it is through the example of these persons of faith in the Old Testament that this preacher is saying, and you can do the same. You can reclaim your faith by listening to the stories of these Old Testament characters. And it's wonderful how it's written. There's an old saying among African-American preachers about how to preach a good sermon. It goes like this. Start low, go slow, reach higher, strike fire. And look at how he writes it. He starts low with a definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of what? Things not seen. And then he goes slow as he names all these characters. And, you know, we thought, you know, Ian and Gray, they can't go much slower, talking about all about Abraham and Sarah. They're going slow, slow. But then the writer gets higher and higher as he talks about the prophets and the martyrs and the saints and the holy ones. And then he strikes fire, as we are called now to rekindle the faith in our lives. Simple definition. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for. What God has promised for the future. People of faith have a confidence and assurance of the here and now, where it looks like our country and world is just going down the tube. God has made us promises of faithfulness, of mercy, of justice, of salvation. And we put our total trust in God. And we are confident that God will bring us into the future and that God will take care of us. Faith, the conviction of things not seen. We've heard many times, we walk by faith, not by sight. And what do we see with our physical eyes? But we see suffering. We see hurt. We see pain. And yet with their inner eye, we're able to see what is possible if we put our trust in God. And then this preacher, what does he do? But he lists all of these Old Testament, what we call heroes. How God spoke to our ancestors. Abel, Enoch, Noah. Can you imagine what Noah went through when he's trying to build this ark and everyone else tells him he's a fool? Abraham and Sarah, all that they went through. Abraham had his name changed. He went from this place called Ur to this new place that he never heard of, and he did it by faith alone. Suffering. Look at the life of Moses. Born into privilege and went to poverty. Led his people through the Red Sea. Even when his own folks turned against him, his faith in God kept him going. The host of witnesses, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, the prophets, persons who had sacrifices in their lives of what they went through. It says, raging fire, sword, torture, flogging, chains, imprisonment, stoned to death, sawn in two. How would you like to be sawn in two? Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves, in holes in the ground. Yet through all these storms in their life, they maintained their faith. And you know what, friends? They weren't perfect. They weren't perfect. They made mistakes. They messed up. Faith does not guarantee power or beauty or riches or influence. But we're called to have faith. We are in the midst of celebrating our 150th anniversary, and many of us know the story about how we started behind Coons Ford up the street. Cemetery's there now. Civil War comes along, tear down, building is torn down. The people of Fairfax Chapel abandoned that site. After the war, there wasn't much left in this little village of Falls Church. Burned down. People left, but there were a few souls left here, and they had faith to build a new worship place with their own hands and feet. They got a couple of African-American young men down in Alexandria to come and to make the bricks for this building that's still a part of this wall right here. It was through faith that they built this place that we know today as Doolin Church. I think about the faith of hundreds of people who have come through these doors and who have died here. I think I have done over 100 funerals here at Doolin Church. But you know, I've done about as many baptisms. And that's good news. I think about the faith of each person in this room and about how in our faith it was a journey without maps. If you think about where your life is today and your faith, you probably wouldn't expect that you would be sitting here at the beginning of August at this place called Doolin Church in the pew or in the seat. Or the organ, wherever. The journey was one without a map. As I was thinking about the preaching for today, I was thinking about a phone call I got. It must have been 15 years ago. And I have learned now that when people call me and they want to come see me, I say, well, what are we going to talk about? I've kind of learned to kind of be prepared because you never know what's going to come from the other side. So this person came to visit me. It was a man, very active here, no longer here. And so I said, sure, come on in. So he came in to see me. We sat down. And his question was this. He said, Pastor Dave, I want the faith that you have. How can I get it? It would have been nice if I knew beforehand because I could think about that one for a little bit. You know, that's a hard question to answer. Pastor Dave, I want the faith that you have. How can I get it? So we chatted and, you know, he said, Pastor Dave, I come to church every Sunday. I'm in that pew every Sunday. I sing the hymns. I pray. I hear the message. He said, Pastor Dave, I'm in Sunday school every single Sunday. I hear the lesson. I'm part of the conversation. But I don't have the faith. You've got it, Pastor Dave. Give it to me. And I said,
well. And we talked about faith. We talked about my faith. And I said, you know, there have been times when I lost my faith. There are times when I question my faith. But I said, you know, you can't develop your faith just by coming to Sunday school and church. It's 2 hours a week. It just doesn't do it. I said, when's the last time you've prayed? When is the last time you have been on your knees praying to God? He couldn't answer it. When is the last time that you helped someone in need? Couldn't answer it. I said, to develop a faith, you have to have a relationship with God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You have to pray. Number two is that faith is a word of action. We have to put our faith into action. And there, people can see the faith that you have. But you just can't sit there in the pew and then go home and do nothing all week. You've got to use that offering envelope so that we can help others all around the world and not just in this place here. And then I said these words to him. I said, you know what? It took faith for you to make that phone call to me. It took faith for you to get up this morning, have your breakfast, open up your door, get into your car, turn it on, and drive to this church. I said, you know, when you got to the back parking lot, you could have just turned around and gone back home. But what did you do? You came through that back door. You came through that door, opened up the door. You knocked on my door, and you came in. That's faith. That's faith. But we've got to practice it. And coming to church and on Sunday morning for Sunday school is just the beginning of how we develop our faith. I was thinking about ancestors of faith, and I was thinking about my grandmother. My grandmother Betcher, who was my mother's mother, she had 7 grandchildren. I was the only one who inherited her piano playing. And when I was growing up, I had a beat-up $50 piano, and she'd come down and play it. It used to drive my parents nuts. Because she'd come down and she'd play those old Fanny Crosby hymns. I remember having my piano recitals. My parents didn't come to my piano recitals. You know who came to my piano recitals? My grandmother and the little ladies with gray rinsed hair. They're the ones who came to my piano recitals. They are the ancestors of my faith. Faith, a journey without maps. When I travel, I am ready to go. I have a GPS. I go by maps. I learn how to buy the ticket. I learn how to do it all. But it doesn't work with faith that way. Some 33 years ago, I was working at Consolidated Labs for the state of Virginia, testing water of the Potomac River to tell you it was dirty, and we knew it's dirty. Can you imagine me in a lab coat doing that today? You know, being cooped up in a lab all day just wasn't for me. And God saw that. God saw that. He said, Dave, I have something for you to do for the kingdom of God different from what you're doing. And you know what, Dave? You're going to suffer. But hopefully my story will inspire your story in your life. And then your lives can inspire others and others and others, because that's what's happened in the church, is we're no longer inspiring others through our faith journeys. We're not telling about it, so nobody says, wow, I want to be like that. I want to be like those folks. I'm going to come into that church and be part of what those people are all about. They've got it. They've got the faith. They've got something I don't have, and I want it. But we're too pensive. We're too quiet. God wants us to shout out, folks, I'm doing this all for the Lord. That's our faith. So this week, think about those persons in your lives who got you here to this spot. Be it a family member, be it whoever, be it the website. And let's see how we can nurture our faith lives so that you don't have to come to me and say, "Pastor Dave, I want the faith that you have. How can I get it?" We're all here today together. Let's continue our journey without maps. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen.